Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean. And we're from Joy Breakfast.
We hope you enjoy this Joy podcast.
It is 4 minutes past eight on your Friday morning.
Aging in our LGBTIQA plus communities isn't something we really think about until we're faced with aged care or our loved ones or ourselves entering it. Trans journalist Julie Peters has just been exploring inclusive options for aged care for the past 20 years.
After learning that many elderly queer people feel they may have to go back into the closet with so many retirement homes being run by faith-based groups, journalist Julie Peters recently investigated the limited options for LGBTQIA plus seniors. She joins us now to share her experiences. Welcome to Joy Breakfast, Julie.
Great, thank you.
Now, look, in Australia was one of the first nations with a national LGBTI ageing and aged care strategy back in 2012, so 12 years ago. And even with that in mind, what's it like, have you found, for most elderly queer people looking at aged care options today?
Well, the thing about people going to aged care is they're older.
Yeah.
and you know, I can admit this on wireless, you know, I'm in my 70s.
The fact that you called it a wireless still indicates that maybe you're a little older than us.
The electric wireless. I like that show. but my grandma used to always call it the wireless. And so, you know, I just thought that was quite cute as a kid. Anyway, people I know are going into aged care and they're my age. But the thing about, you know, us boomers, even though I don't really identify as a boomer, I've got plenty of other things to identify as.
I forget what's a boomer like, because I'm called so many things now as well. Which sits in where?
Well, it was the population boom straight after the Second World War.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I know is it's like our parents' generation.
Yeah,
that's why you go, okay, yeah, boomer.
And my generation. Yeah. And so basically what happened after the war finished, everybody went, oh, wow, we can relax. And they started fucking, basically. Oh,
okay, there we go. Yeah, having a bit of banging.
Having children. And I'm one of them. I was born in 51, so that was only, you know, 6 years after the Second World War.
Yeah. And now we've seen this space within our communities where we have, you know, visibility for our older people in our communities. I did the special that you did do on the ABC. There was a really interesting thing where we've heard a lot about in the past 10 years where older people are going back into the closet, yeah, as they're stepping into aged care. You know, they're having to not be able to be so out and open. So you decided to do something about that and look into it.
It started off as a conversation because I just mentioned this to a producer at Compass, and she said, we should do a story about this. And, you know, but it was actually Catherine Barrett who got me thinking about this 20 years ago in terms of, you know, and she then set up Vels and, you know, and then all the King's Men a few years later, yeah, did that great thing at the Melbourne Town Hall, you know, that Coming Back Out Ball.
The Coming Back Out Ball was fantastic. It was really great. Some people, that was the first time that they were stepping out loud and proud, you know, and seeing that in the next stage of life is really lovely.
And you know, groups like now Thorn Harbour Health are trying to, you know, get public housing for LGBT people.
Yeah.
And I'm never quite sure how many initials to put because, you know, one of the most interesting parts of my quest was to have a look at what was happening in Sweden, because Sweden was one of the first to set up a LGBT ageing retirement village. It wasn't really nursing home or anything, and it called Renbergen, which is, you know,
rainbow.
Oh, okay. I can't even pronounce that.
It took me a little while to get my, because it's got dots over
I've
the.
I've got to admit, when we had it in the notes, I was like, I don't want to have to say that word.
And they were lovely people. So basically, that the building they were in was owned by the Stockholm City Council, and then one of the, I can't remember the name of the group, so one of the gay groups in Stockholm basically put in an idea that they wanted some spaces in that in that space. Mm. And they got the top three floors, which other people were mad because they got the best views as well.
Deserved. So what are some of the other ways that they facilitated an inclusive environment in that aged care centre for the LGBTQIA plus community?
Well, basically it's just everybody in Sweden just seemed to be very civilised and nice. And, you know, I guess, you know, unfortunately, that there are every country has bits of backlash, and, you know, there have been some, you know, bad things happen there as well. Mm. But, you know, it and it was just, it tended to be couples and singles who basically had one and two bedroom apartments in that top three floor. So it wasn't a huge number of apartments, but it was just a really good model. And in fact, that's to an extent what Thorn Harbour Health have copied to an extent in Melbourne. The fact that they're in a building which are like seven or eight stories high, and they've got LGBT have got 60% of the rooms, but they're not in a particular space. They're just spread out through the room, spread out through the building. But they've also got this criterion that anybody else in the building has to be an ally.
Oh, that's, I love great. That. Yeah. You know, we often talk, I know, with lots of younger people like me in our communities thinking, oh, you know, as we get older, we want to be like the Golden Girls. We want to make sure we're together. We want to make sure we're with our community. And we've seen this great visibility. Catherine Barrett is a wonderful individual for that, for elevation of the visibility and positivity of the older people in our communities. They're not dead yet. They're not going anywhere. They're out loud and proud, just like the rest of us. So creating spaces matters so much. And there was actually one that exists in jails that you looked at as well as a part of your investigation. You visited Hepburn House.
Yeah, and they've taken a different approach. What they're doing is they're getting Rainbow Tick. And Rainbow Tick was, there's a number of different Rainbow Ticks in Australia, but the one Hepburn House have is the one set up by ARCHES, you know, the Australian Research Council of Sex Health and Sexual Society. Phew, I got that right. Phew.
It's early in the morning. You're on fire.
And they're a great group. You know, they're part of La Trobe University, but our research council into sex, health and sexuality. And I went, well, they were really, that group was really very important in the Health and Difference conferences, the early ones. They auspiced, that's the word, Health and Difference 2 and Health and Difference 5. It was at those sort of groups, and also like the aging conferences, the LGBT aging conferences, that I started to hear more and more details. And you know, the fact that we were able to sell it as a episode of Compass was, I thought, was really great. That we actually, you know, tried to broaden the knowledge of these things, because so many people who are really strong allies, it had never occurred to them that, you know, LGBT people going into retirement or a nursing home might have issues.
We're speaking with Julie Peters about aged care settings for LGBTQIA plus communities. You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean. We'll be back after this.
Joy.
You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean. It's 14 minutes past 8.
And we're speaking with journalist Julie Peters. We're talking about ageing with pride and what our aged care sector looks like for LGBTIQA plus communities as they step into the next phase of life.
Now, Julie, you mentioned as part of your investigation visiting Hepburn House and learning about other community housing projects. What are some of the positive impacts that you experienced by having inclusive housing for seniors?
Well, it's quite broad, actually. And look, for one of the first ones Hepburn House noticed is that once they got a rainbow tick, or were starting to get a rainbow tick, gay staff started to apply to to work there as well, which isn't something you'd think of straight away. Because the gay staff felt safe there as well as a residence. And so, you know, it builds, you know. It was just so many interesting people I met on this journey, actually.
Do you think that it creates maybe a more positive, like, I don't want to say end-of-life experience, but essentially you go into an aged care facility until the end of your life, usually, unless you end up in, you know, another facility. Mm. But do you think it makes that experience a more positive experience than maybe if they were isolated in a facility where they can't be their authentic selves?
Oh, totally. I mean, we're talking a lot more about bringing your whole self to work. Mm. But the thing is, you know, if you get to, you know, into your 70s like myself.
I hope I do.
I feel I should speak with a bit slightly older voice here. maybe not. Okay, I won't. Okay.
Let's take the stigma
young
out
and
of
fabulous.
Let's take the stigma out of like end of life, because I mean we have presumptions. I know what these spaces are like when I've gone to visit people who are at that stage of their life or at the final stage of their life, which is not necessarily what these spaces are. Can you just break down what are they like for people so they can understand?
Well, I guess I see it at least at two levels. One is the retirement village where in a way people get sick of doing the gardening and whatever and basically just want to have fun in their 50s. And what I was really surprised at was a lot of these places, because I helped move my mum into one and then she was in her late 70s and I was... Sorry. Mm-hmm. And I was getting into my 50s and I realised I could move in 2 years' time, because you can move in at 55. I went, I'm not ready to move into a retirement place at 55. But, you know, some people do. I've met people who do, and because they just want to, you know, they're sick of looking after the house.
Yeah, they want to be untethered by the other things in their life.
Yeah. And they can, you know, and you know, the two guys we spoke to in Sweden, they still owned a place in Thailand as well. And so what would happen is that they had this place in Sweden where they'd spend summer in Sweden, and then when it got too cold, they would go to Thailand.
So they're just communal living situations. They're not aged care facilities.
It's a retirement village. So you have to be over a certain age.
I've come into this with a whole other idea.
Well, no, because what you're talking about is also a part of it as well.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
there's
of course,
a broad
yeah,
range
yeah.
in regard to it.
Yeah, no, and the Swedish one, there's an in the other building, because there's three buildings together, there is actually a high care place as well, where you get nursing care 24 hours a day. And
some people need that.
Oh, yeah, some people do. And you know, touch wood, I'm hoping that I touch wood, I'm hoping that will never happen to me. But then again, you know, when I was, when I first started working, we were the young folk, you know. Us boomers were the young folk, and we were going to change the world and you know, be optimistic and we were never going to get old. But, you know, it turns out if you hang around a long time, you get older.
You've got no choice. It's just what's
going to
happen.
And then the next generation comes in to change the world again. Now, what are some of some positive things that you think, like, Australian aged care providers could implement to create more inclusive environments?
Well, I mean, every aged care facility could do Rainbow Tick or what's it called? Each stage and each group, there's so many different versions of Rainbow Tick. That's the one I happen to know the best, and that's the one that Hepburn House is doing.
That's the one in Victoria, yeah?
Yeah. Although Victoria can do the New South Wales one if they wanted to.
And to be Rainbow Tick, does that just mean that the staff are educated on the community? They don't have to have any particular programs or anything?
They have to have programs, and they have to have facilities, and they have, but staff have to have all done. And that includes every member of staff, not just, you know, the carers, it's the cleaners. And
there's a bit of a rigorous checklist that you've got to work to make sure you're hitting that standard. And, I mean, the minute that happens, you start to think about and realise things that you're missing or things that you may not notice regarding our communities.
Look, one of the things I liked about Hepburn House in the new part of the building, some of the rooms have an adjoining door. So that, you know, if a couple moved in, because even though the rooms are still single rooms with the adjoining door, you can open the adjoining door, can't you?
Yeah.
I love that.
You can watch each other sleep. If you miss the sound of the snoring, just open the door and listen to that snore.
We were absolutely thinking two different things.
Although I'll point out that the lesbian couple we interviewed in Sweden said one of the joys they liked about being in a two-bedroom apartment is they could close the door and not hear the snoring.
Exactly.
I think that's a good life choice for all relationships. You need your time with your partner and your time on your own as well. Julie, thank you so much for coming in this morning onto Joy Breakfast and just having a chat about this. We really appreciate you doing it. We're going to put all this together in our podcast, including the link to your Compass episode that people can check out and actually have a look at, because it is a really great and important conversation to have, because we are going to all be that way in that space at some point in our lives.
Yeah.
And the more elevation and celebration for our later stage in life communities we can create, the better space we're all going to be.
Yeah. We all want to age fabulously.
Yeah, age with pride, fabulous
Amen.
Pride.
It's 21 minutes past 8. You're on Joy Breakfast. Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and I hope you enjoyed this little snippet of the fun we bring to air as a part of Joy Breakfast during weekdays.
Don't forget to tune in from 7 till 9 a.m. or like and subscribe to the Joy Podcast.
And keep yourself out loud and proud.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.